We preach a book by book, but I've just landed here, and I'm going to share with you at the end. I think it really, God did something in my heart, confirming with me that I was in the right vein of thought. I concluded probably a 3 to 6, but somewhere 4 or 5 month series on the children of Israel and the journey of faith. It was originally the word of faith, taken from Romans chapter number 10. The word of faith is near you. It's in your heart and it is in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. But it kind of transitioned from word of faith to journey of faith, and we concluded that just before Easter. But I just kind of felt like it was undone. I was not quite ready to let go of it, and I just transitioned right into the hand of leadership being passed from Moses to Joshua, and I started a series called Conquest. And I preached a week ago about courage, which is a necessary part. The scripture had told a couple of weeks ago, I should say, God had told Joshua to be courageous. It takes courage to be who God's called you to be, right? And then certainly last week in the ministry of the word. But I want to jump ahead real quickly, kind of tell you a couple things. Next week, I'm going to preach a message entitled Old Corn and a New Captain. Excited about that. The second week, or 2 weeks from now, on the 12th, is Mother's Day, and I'm going to preach a message entitled The Scarlet Thread. So I'm super excited about that one. Been preached 2 times in this church over the last 21 years, so I'm very, very excited about preaching, because you always add to it out of your own experiences. But on the 19th, May the 19th, is a day we're going to do something different. We're going to flip roles around just a little bit. We're going to honor the graduates. And so Caleb has been putting together a list, and I'm saying this today because sometimes we might miss somebody, and because sometimes a senior comes to church with their parents on a Sunday morning, but they might not be here on a Wednesday night. They might be working or sports or whatever it might could be. But nonetheless, we don't want to miss anybody. So over the next couple of weeks, if you say, and we would like my senior to be recognized on May the 19th, the roles are going to be reversed. I'm going to be the one that's presenting the gift to the seniors and exhorting and praying over them. And then I'm going to pass the preaching baton to our own Caleb Parrish for his first opportunity of preaching here on a Sunday morning. I know he's excited about that. So that's kind of where we're going to be going for the next 3 to 4 weeks of time. You know, I thought, Caleb, you ought to just stay in Joshua. There's a historic figure in the book of Joshua called Caleb that you could do a lot with, you know. Yeah, you could make it happen, you know, from there. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to take your Bibles and turn with me to Joshua chapter number 5. We're going to read 10 verses of Scripture. It's not a lengthy passage. The tradition of our church is to stand in honor of the reading of Scripture. The only reason I breach that at times is if I read too lengthy of a passage. But with only 10 verses of Scripture, I think that you can remain standing for that length of time. If, of course, you cannot be seated, don't think no one's judging you for sitting down during the reading of Scripture. It's just a tradition that we honor. It's Joshua chapter number 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. And it came to pass, when all of the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, and neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. We know God tells the whole story. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Now there's a lot said right there. 2 times God swore, but he altered one because of the unbelief of the people. Unbelief can keep you from the promises, the prophetic word of God in your life. So you must guard your heart and determine to follow that prophetic word. And so verse number 7, and their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho. Now I'll elaborate on the link between Passover and communion here in a few moments. But obviously the bulk of this text of Scripture here was about circumcision. And as I prayed and prepared my heart and was very excited with the direction that I felt led of the Lord on Friday morning, I originally wrote down, I even told Sister Sherry, I said, my sermon title for this Sunday is Circumcision and Communion. And I was fixing to put that on the phone tree. And I thought, I thought to myself, self, that might not be the best thing to do right there. But you're going to understand more about while I was thinking that here in a moment. How many know there's a natural and there's a spiritual? All right now. And so I landed with camping at Gilgal. Right? So there it is, a journey through Joshua, camping at Gilgal. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to camp at Gilgal this morning. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm excited to share the Word of God with you. Let your heart be prepared. Father, I love you. I feel God's so blessed to have an opportunity to share what you put in my heart today. And I know that maybe some people can't understand this dynamic as they, I hope, carry some measure of excitement to hear the Word of God. But Father, there's something inside of me that just is so stirred today to be able to share, to be able to give something that you have quickened in my heart. So I do pray that our hearts are prepared. I pray that even now we're preparing our hearts to receive the emblems of communion. Take us on this journey while we camp with Israel at Gilgal. Lord, it's in Jesus' name, and all God's children said amen and amen. All right. I had to go ahead and release the children, even though there's a part of me that could have kept them since they're going to be a part of communion. But it might be slightly explicit in here today. It will go no further than PG 13, maybe. Somewhere in there. But let's pick this journey up for just a moment of time, just to, you know, to see where we're at with the children of Israel. The children of Israel having been delivered mightily by the hand of God from 430 years of Egyptian bondage. It's one of the key stories in all the Word of God. And when I say story, I'm not talking about a fable. I'm talking about a recorded historical event. Come on, somebody. The children of Israel served in heavy bondage for 430 years, and God brought them out. They could not deliver themselves. It took the mighty hand of God bringing them out. Tragically, as it's been noted, that I'll allude to a little bit more, they stumbled along the route from Egypt to the promised land. They stumbled in unbelief. There were cycles of unbelief. There were moments of unbelief, but there was a critical moment when they wanted to elect a captain and return to Egypt, and the Lord said, that's enough. And I'll tell you what, that's a dangerous place to be. And so, with unbelief. And so, the Lord judged that unbelief, and those that were of mature age, 20 years of age and upward, were allowed or were not allowed to enter the promised land, but those that were younger than that. So you think about that for a moment. What a difference from a 19-year-old to a 21-year-old. A 21-year-old would spend the next 40 years and not be able to go into the promised land. But a 19-year-old would then later at 59 be able to go into the promised land. So it's very, very critical that our eyes and ears are upon this, because I want all that God has for you. Come on, I want you to be who God's called you to be. So the remainder of these people of men and women and children with Passover here that's present, this is a younger group. Joshua and Caleb are now the senior statesmen to this group. As just noted, the congregation is no older than 60, with many and even the majority of younger. And I could go on about, you know, I think we underestimate the power of young adults. I'm telling you, you can do great things for God. Come on, somebody. You can do great things for God. The world was turned upside down by a group of fishermen that was between 20 and 30 and 35 years of age, right? And so the promise of God to bring them in was complete. I just wonder. I was thinking about this for a moment. Everybody has a different preaching style in today's culture. And my preaching style is this. I always try to look as close as I can to the historical narrative. I don't want to just use this figuratively for you. I do want to apply this spiritually to you and even possibly figuratively. But there's life in the text. Just reading it exactly as it is and contemplating and pondering it and trying to identify with the people. What was it like when the waters of Jordan had closed? You know, they crossed over Jordan, which was my subject matter from last week. Miraculously, God had parted the waters, held them back, and a people group pass over on dry ground. And to think about that, to just see that, let's ponder. Let's just picture the little red. And you're standing there perhaps alongside of the swinging bridge area, and suddenly the waters are dried up, heaped up, on the north side towards the dam, begin to heap up, and then the waters go dry southern, and you could literally cross. That's what the people saw. They experienced it. And then when the waters closed, there they are on the other side, a promise made to their fathers 430 years ago. After enduring all the pain and all the sorrow and all the struggle of that Egyptian bondage and taskmaster, and then the journey in the wilderness that was a treacherous journey where there were wild beasts and there were serpents and there was famine and there was drought, all those things where the people were proven. And then there was death. People died because they didn't believe God. And yet those that remained and found the faithfulness of God, I can just imagine looking back and seeing that water close back over and seeing the other side and just trying to soak all of that in, knowing that that's the supernatural hand of God, the power of God. You can't do it of yourself. And then this narrative begins to change. And at this time, the Lord says unto Joshua, make these sharp knives, because something's going to happen. We've got to circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. The Bible gives no record of a mass circumcision during the Exodus or the wilderness journey, but it seems to be implied by the verse there, the fifth chapter, the second verse, the second time. I'll tell you about where the children of Israel were commanded originally here in just a moment concerning circumcision. Either the people had continued in that covenant practice during the 430 years of slavery, or sometimes early into leading the people out of Egypt, possibly at Mount Sinai, there was a mass circumcision, and that's my belief. My perception is that there was a moment where there was probably a mass circumcision but at that time. But during the 40-year wandering, the fifth verse clearly says that no one, the people that were born in the wilderness along the way, as they came out, they had not been circumcised. So the previous generation that was in covenant with God, with their bodies marked by circumcision, the tragedy of that group of people is, as you've heard me say, they stumbled at unbelief in the wilderness. Even the Apostle Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 10. That's why I challenge you to challenge unbelief in your heart and life. Listen, we want to pacify unbelief in the Lord's presence. But I'm telling you, God is not pleased with unbelief. He's only pleased by faith. By believing and trusting the Lord and then living in abundance and in obedience before the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10 says this, with many of them, talking about Moses, or excuse me, Paul is looking back. He says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So instead of crossing over, they were overthrown because of unbelief. So guard your heart. So you need to know. So the mark of covenant, which I'll elaborate in a moment, you need more than a mark. You need obedient faith to please God. Nothing's changed. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For they that come unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that will diligently seek Him. So you might ask yourself this question, what is circumcision in the historical context? We kind of know it in a cultural context. The majority of males in America today are circumcised. But what was it in the historical biblical context? It was the sign of covenant between Yahweh God and the Hebrew people, beginning with Abraham. When God formed a covenant with Abraham, God initiated this mark that would be upon the body of all the male descendants of Abraham. Genesis 17 even tells us that all the males in Abraham's household, including the servants, were to be circumcised. All the children, all the male children, including Abraham, who was circumcised at 99 years of age. And so in Exodus 12 and 48, here's what the word says: "For no uncircumcised person shall eat of the Passover." So in the Exodus, when that instruction came, it was given concerning Passover that if you were not circumcised, then you were cut off from the people because you had broken covenant. You had not entered into the covenant with God. And that was repeated early in the Exodus in the Levitical law. In Leviticus 12 and 3, it said, "On the eighth day of the life of the male children, each male child was to be circumcised." And so it was a male-dominated society. Women were brought in and brought under the covenant and, to a degree, the faith of the men. Even Jesus, when he ministered, as in Luke 13, there was a woman that he ministered to. And so, obviously, by bodily anatomy, she could not be circumcised, but Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham because of faith. But to the children of Israel, the mark of circumcision was critical. And we're going to get, there's a spiritual dynamic to this in a moment. I know some of you are just on pins and needles wondering where I'm going to go with this, especially when you read that second verse: "Make these sharp knives." It was the physical mark of covenant with God, the outward mark. Yet how many of you know God looks on the heart, right? And so you can have your body marked and your heart be far from God. Deuteronomy 6:10, Moses said, let's go a little bit farther with this. He said, "You may have the mark on your body," and I'm paraphrasing part of this passage, but the Lord through Moses told the children of Israel, he said, "You need to circumcise the foreskin of your heart before the Lord and no longer be stiff-necked." He said, listen, in a spiritual context, God is looking for you. Here's what he said. Here's what's required of you. And there's a spiritual dynamic in this, because you can have the look of a Christian. You can have the sometimes a little bit of the semi-actions. You can attend church. But I'm telling you, God knows your heart. And so if your heart's not pure before the Lord, he said in Deuteronomy 10, you need to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and follow him with all that you do. This is what God requires of you. This is the plan that God has for you. This is what Moses told the children of Israel. And so it was the mark of covenant for all the male children from that day forward, when God called the children of Israel with Abraham, that all the male children would have the mark of circumcision in the body. And then this carried on all the way through to the children of Israel in the promised land. And this subject even entered into the New Testament church. It became a subject of controversy. That I'm just kind of giving you the backdrop for just a moment, where the skin of the male foreskin was removed in covenant practice before the Lord. So by the time that the New Testament church comes around and the preaching of the gospel is going forward, and we begin to realize that salvation is not in the blood of a bullock or a goat, it's not found in the temple in Jerusalem, but it was found in the person of Jesus Christ, right? That all those other were types and shadows of the sacrifice, the great and eternal sacrifice that would come in the person of Christ. But since the mark of circumcision was so important to the Hebrew culture, that with the mark of circumcision being so important to the Hebrew culture, even some of those that were born again in the early church began to try to bring that practice and put that expectation upon not just the Jew, but also the Gentiles that were coming into covenant faith before God. So a people group known as the Judaizers, began to preach and teach to the Gentile church that even if you put your faith in Christ and you're trusting the Lord, and they had discovered and realized by then that the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross wasn't just for the Jew. How many know he didn't just die for the Jew, right? He died for all the world, right? That's why in the writer Paul in the book of Ephesians said that the blood brings you, those that were near the Jew and those that were afar off, brings you near unto God through Christ. Right, and so as they're preaching the gospel, the Judaizers are saying, that's all good, but if you're going to be in the covenant family of God, you still have to be circumcised, and your children, your male children, have to be circumcised. And so one of the critical moments in the early church happened in Acts chapter 15, when the apostles gathered together back at Jerusalem with the elders to consider this matter. Paul was there, Barnabas is there, Peter is there, James is there, many elders from Gentile churches all throughout the Roman Empire, where the gospel's now been scattered. They've traveled to Jerusalem to hear this matter. And they concluded, the apostles concluded this, say, as they addressed it. They said, it's being said, you must be circumcised and keep the law. And here's what the apostles said, to whom we gave no such commandment. No such commandment was given, because it's really about your heart being circumcised before the Lord. Whether you have the physical mark or not, today is not the indicator of whether or not you're in covenant with God. The indicator is whether your heart has been circumcised before the Lord and you have authentic and genuine faith in the Lord. But now let me tell you this, though. The principle of circumcising your heart is still preserved, and also the spiritual dynamic of circumcising your flesh is present as well. That's what I want to talk to you about for just a moment of time. Because how many of you know, in your covenant walk with God, God will require of you hard things, difficult things? Oh, wow, that's a great amen for such a spiritual point as that. He will. Don't think that this is easy. Don't think that the walk of faith is easy. I'm telling you, God demands things of you. He does. He has the right. He bought you and purchased you with his blood on the tree that we call Calvary. And you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. And he has a right to demand of you certain things. And so this, even though we may not have the covenant mark of circumcision identifying us as a believer in Christ, but God has put upon us the expectation to cut away fleshly appetites that may hinder us in our communion and our walk with God. So let's talk about, I want to say this to you today. Don't be afraid of the cutting away of your fleshly appetite before God. Don't be afraid of you and your walk and your communion with God when God speaks to your heart and you're beginning to grow and mature in your communion with God and your fellowship with God, and you hear that inner witness, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, and the Spirit of God is quickening inside of you and says, you don't need that in your life any longer. You don't need it anymore. You need to cut it away. I heard Shane tell the story this past week of one of our famous heroes of faith that's gone on to be with the Lord in this church. His name was Paul Davis. He's the father of Anita DeWitt. Is Anita here today? I don't know if she's here today. There she is. And so in Brother Paul's conversion, after he was a World War II not only veteran, war hero, decorated, easily could have been a Congressional Medal of Honor winner, but he fell prey to alcoholism after the war because of dealing with PTSD. It was probably not even, you know, being diagnosed in that generation. And he began to hide all that sorrow and all that pain. And that was the way that he would deaden himself to the pain and the memory of the things that he experienced. But he was walking between his house and to the little shop where he would hide his liquor. And as he was walking, and he had made profession of faith in Christ, but he was still struggling. But he heard a voice, maybe not audibly, but in his heart. And the Lord said to him, the Lord quickened in his heart and said, Paul, you don't need that anymore. And so in a moment of time, he had to make a decision. And he made a decision to obey the Lord, and he cut it off. The thing that he had found a dependency that helped him to deal, supposedly to help him deal with the pain and the trauma that he experienced as a younger man fighting in World War II. Now, why am I saying that all to you today? Let me tell you, there is a pain in the loss of things that God expects for you to cut away. Let's not pretend that it's not painful at times. The pain of your flesh, the cutting of away, both physical, psychological, relational, emotional, and even has a spiritual effect upon you. When you, the things that you grew accustomed to, the things that your sinful appetite and beyond, that you began to say, you know what, I don't need that any longer. It's hindering me in my walk of faith. Sometimes it's relational. Sometimes it's people. Come on, sometimes it's things that you put in front of your eyes. Sometimes it's your own beat or jam box that you're listening to. Come on, the things that you got in your earbuds, the things that you thought, you know what, I used to get my groove on by listening. No, you don't need that any longer. You need to be whole before the Lord and complete before the Lord. And God begins to do a work in your heart and life. But I'm saying all that to say, but it is not without pain. Listen, I'm telling you, I doubt if they had very much deadening medication in the wilderness, camped at Gilgal, when the priest began to sharpen that two-bladed sword. It is a little bit explicit, in this context for just a moment. And the first century Jew who became a follower of Christ, the Torah had already cut away much of his sin and sinful desire. But for the Gentile, you left a life of lasciviousness. You left a lifestyle that was engrossed in the things of the world. And I'm telling you, when you feel that being cut away, there's a pull, a tendency to try to pull you back into it. And you got to make hard decisions, difficult decisions. You're going to circumcise your heart. You're going to make the decision to follow the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right? I'm telling you, I don't feel like y'all are receiving that. I'm going to just keep on bearing down until I get a better response a little bit. Because, listen, we can talk about sanctification all the time in the church, but it has no practical response or practical application in life until you take the courage to say, I hear the voice of the Lord God, and God is saying, I'm camped at Gilgal. And there's a day in front of you when you're going to go in, and you're going to begin to take cities, and you're going to have houses that you didn't build, you got vineyards that you didn't plant, and you've heard me say it before, or wells you didn't dig. But there's things in your life that's got to be cut away. I can't take you from Gilgal into conquest until you camp at Gilgal long enough to be courageous enough to draw out that two-bladed sword, and you cut away your flesh. And then I can bless you and you can be the person. Because in that moment of time, that's when the people were being brought back into covenant with God. Woo, that's good preaching for a young guy like myself. And so I want you to know today, the principle in this is you got to stay in the camp till not only are you circumcised, but until you're made whole, the eighth verse. You got to be made whole. Stay the course in the camp. You're not ready for battle just yet. You know, as I was younger in ministry, the old adage used to be this, and I disagreed with it. I saw it and I observed it. It was this: when somebody professed faith in Christ, here's what our thought was. Well, we got to get them active in church. We got to get them involved in church. And we give them titles and we give them responsibilities and we put them in service. No, you don't. You're not ready for it just yet. You still got to cut away the flesh. You still got to die to some things. You got to pray yourself through at the altar until the Spirit of God works in your heart to the degree that you are courageous enough to go through the pain, the painful process of walking away of things that you used to be connected to or be involved in that are now detrimental to your faith in God. I wrote it here on the side because I wanted you to see. I'm going to go back and read this for a moment of time. The cutting away of your flesh in this context, it will have physical, psychological, relational, emotional, and even spiritual effects. From the two-edged sword. Let's put it in the natural. How about this? You don't have sugar in your diet for 3 straight days. Put it away for 3 straight days and you tell me if there's not a psychological, a mental, you'll be grouchy, you'll be snapping at your spouse, you'll have a headache, you'll be drinking water saying, I'm dehydrated, because your body is craving the thing that had grown accustomed to. That's the same way it is with the things of the flesh. But God still demands of us to go through the painful process. Are you out there today? That's a good word. I don't know if you get that at other churches, but you're getting it here at our church today, because you got to camp at Gilgal because there's a battle in front of you, but you're not ready, right? You're not ready just yet. You got to deal with these fleshly things in your life. So everybody's got to camp at Gilgal for a while. Everybody's got to camp there until you deal with this, and then you are made whole and overcome, and then you're ready and you're healed up. And the last thing in the context of circumcision for just a moment is, I know this. I know some of you that are theologians are saying, well, Pastor, really, the true circumcision today is that Christ, his flesh was cut for us on the tree. I thank God for that today as well. Amen. But our heart must be circumcised before the Lord. So the children of Israel were about to now, after circumcision, going back here to the book of Joshua. They were about to receive and partake of Passover. That's what I want to share with you for just a moment of time and to transition this message, because I think it's critical for us today. It's just a beautiful moment in our heart and life and for our families. They were about to partake of Passover, and according to Torah, you could not partake of Passover if you were not circumcised. And so, in this context that we read, the text that we read today, this circumcision, this particular one, was unique. As the flesh of those men was removed, the foreskin was removed, here's what God said about it. I want you to read it, back it up and then read it with me again. The 9th verse. Because if you'd have understood what I understand, You might have shouted as I was reading that in the 9th verse. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Gilgal means rolling away. Now, some theologians tell us that was the memorial stones they took out of the Jordan. Remember that last week? They took those memorial stones, but I don't think so. I think it was that foreskin was removed, that it was literally being rolled away. What theologians cannot do is they cannot decide on what the reproach of Egypt is. It's unclear because it's not clarified in the text. And so it's debated amongst theologians. But I think if you think about it for just a moment of time, he's referencing not only the slavery. The slavery was something they could not help. They were born into slavery. But it was during the journey that they were brought out. And yet the tendency was that they would return to the idolatrous practices of the Egyptians. And so the Egyptian influence was upon their heart. And the failure at Kadesh Barnea was this. Again, when they were afraid to go into the land, what did they do? That night, they plotted and they schemed and they said this, Numbers 14, we're going to elect us a captain and we're going to turn this ship around and we're going to go right back to Egypt and we're going to ask Pharaoh to put us back into bondage because we would rather be slaves in the wilderness than to die, or slaves in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. And that was a stumbling block for the children of Israel. But on that day that we read about right there in Scripture, God said that with the cutting away of the foreskin, I am rolling away the reproach of Egypt. Now, that's something that we have to just see if we can identify with and close in this message. The waters of the Jordan have fallen back into place, and the flesh of their foreskin has been removed. I'm going to tell you what it was for those men and women that day. It was a new day. They were a new people, a new generation. The failure of the wilderness was now behind them. It was put away by God, rolled away. Let me tell you about your life. Your life today is this very quickly, and that is, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the old has to pass away. You cannot, listen to this, you can't move forward in faith if you're always moving back to your past. So you got to have a moment in your life where you say the reproach of mistakes and sinful behavior and even things that I did when I was a Christian, I can't go back and make them undone. They're still there. But by virtue of the blood of Jesus, I am free from them. I repent. I ask people to forgive me. I go to them. But God, I can't make it undone. But the thing that I can do, I can forget those things that are behind me and I can press toward the mark of the prize of the high call of God that's in front of me. If you still got breath, God still got a call on your life. And so you got to move past it. And so Gilgal is that moment where you say, I've wallowed in this self-pity long enough. I've wallowed in my own mistakes. I've wallowed in the pain that others and what they've done to me long enough. God's got a bright future for me. But I got to stay here at Gilgal until he makes me whole. But when he makes me whole, brothers and sisters, you got to get up and go forward and be who God's called you to be. Man, that's a good word for you today. God's done the work in Christ. How about you trust and obey him? He fulfilled the Torah. He walked in obedience to God. You know what you need to do? You love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Go forward in faith. You got to have it rolled away. The reproach of painful and poor decisions can be rolled away by the grace of Almighty God. And you can walk victoriously in the call of God upon your life. And that's my heart for each one of you. Whether you are new to faith in Christ or whether you've been in the kingdom for a long time. I can tell you what, I'm going to be honest with you today. I've observed a lot of people in the kingdom. And just because somebody's saved doesn't mean that they don't make bad decisions. And just because they're saved doesn't mean that they don't necessarily hurt people along the way. Or get hurt by others along the way. And then they oftentimes, that stays with them for a long, it becomes a reproach. But God can bring you to a place called Gilgal. Come on, God can bring you to a place where he rolls it away. Where the reproach is broken, the thing you're dealing with is broken, and God said, we're going to do all things new. A new day, a new generation, a new group of people with a new expectant faith that said, God, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to believe the Lord. Come on, that's a good word. I put it in my notes right here. I said, preach this, Pastor. Preach it because you need to hear it. Gilgal means roll away. People in your life today, you can't live the rest of your life in the sorrow and the pity and the resentment and the bitterness and the frustration and the anger of all things about mistakes and things that were in your past. There comes a moment, it might be painful. Come on now, it might be painful, but you got to cut it away and let God roll it away. You cut it away and let Him roll it away, glory to God. And you can be free and you can live a life that's pleasing to Him. And the grace of God could be yours. Before we bring the children in here today, I'm going to close here as we transition to Passover. Then Israel did something on the banks of the Jordan River there at the place that we called Gilgal. With their flesh healing and being now made whole, a calendar date began to arrive. It was the 14th day of the month, the time of Passover. It says that they kept the Passover. So let's pause. Circumcision, Passover, is there a link? That would have been cool if I'd have put that on the phone tree, though, I just have to admit. I might have had six people in here, all ladies. That's funny right there. But there's, remember, first that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. So we can see when the priest pulled out that double-bladed sword and began to sharpen it, and we can cringe thinking about a 59-year-old male being circumcised. But then we can relate to it when we think about there are things in my flesh God's still desiring me to cut away. Right? It's painful, but I got to do it to be the person God's called me to be, to move from Gilgal into taking cities that He has for me. Come on, somebody. I think you're making the correlation. But what about Passover? So theologians debate as to whether in the wilderness journey, after the failure of unbelief, did they keep the Passover? They did once, but did they keep it ongoing? My personal belief is no. My presumption is no. But that is debatable. Yet on this day, they're now circumcised in flesh, they're circumcised in heart, and they keep the Passover. So Passover for the children of Israel. Pastor Brown, you just told me you can't go back. You can't go back. And you can't always look back to your failure. But Passover for the Hebrew was looking back at God's deliverance. It was where, here they are, seated there in their camps at Gilgal along the Jordan River. And the Lord said, I want you to remember that night, 40 plus years ago now, when you were there, some of you weren't. You weren't born yet. You were born along the way. But some of you were teenagers and you were infants on that night when the death angel passed through. And he passed through every home, through every Egyptian's home and every Hebrew's home in the good land of Goshen. And the firstborn's life was taken in all of Egypt from the prince of the Egyptian Pharaoh all the way to the pauper who worked in the field. But when the death angel came to the Hebrews' houses, living in poverty in the land of Goshen, there was something that prevented him from taking the life of the firstborn. The Bible says that when he saw the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorpost and on the lintel, that he passed over the Hebrews. And that word was to be reminded to the children of Israel generationally, perpetually, to tell your children about it, that it was on that night when you could not deliver yourself, but God delivered you by His mighty, strong hand. And here they were in the promised land, and here you are in covenant faith with God. And so communion for us is the same as Passover to the Hebrew. They look back and they celebrated the Passover lamb by the meal, but we don't look back to the Passover lamb. We look back to the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the tree. And that's what we'll do here in communion in a few moments of time. So for the new covenant believer, we find this historical event and this spiritual truth fulfilled in Christ. Paul said, Christ is our Passover. When He broke the staff of our sin and our bondage, and He delivered us from Egyptian bondage. Come on, somebody. Amen. And we look back as well. So let's put it together in closing. Here we have the Hebrews following Joshua, their leader, camped at Gilgal. They've seen the miraculous power of God. The waters have parted. They've crossed over. They've closed up, and God demanded something of them. He demanded circumcision. Circumcision not just in the flesh, but also in their heart. God demanded it of them. And then he said, I want you to stay right where you're at until you're whole. You got to be whole. You can't move forward. You can't do what God's called you to do. Church family, don't just keep in the cycle of life. Motion, 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 and not be whole. Let me tell you today, I don't know what the world will tell you, but I'm telling you, you can be made whole. If you come to Christ and you have in your heart of hearts and you begin to get this word inside you, as you get this word inside of you in your heart and your mind and your spirit, you will supernaturally be healed of the pain and the sorrow and the travail and even of the poor decisions that you yourself have made by the power of the Holy Spirit who works in the heart and life of a believer. Do you believe that? I do. I'm sold out. I believe in it. I believe it's supernatural. God can do it. Now, here's something that's unique to us, and this is where I rejoice. It was one of those moments where maybe it doesn't mean anything to you, but it meant something to me. In just a moment of time, we're going to begin to switch entirely to communion, but I don't want to go get the kids just yet until I speak directly to you about that. This is the last end of the sermon notes. This is what meant something to me about this message. So here I am, I'm putting this message together, and I'm praying, and I'm asking the Lord, and I'm trying to plot this journey following with Joshua. And weeks ago, I started to go, and I started looking ahead. On this week, I'm going to be here. On this week, we're going to be here. And so on this day, I just arbitrarily said, you know what, we've crossed the Jordan River. Now we're going to go, and we're going to look at this circumcision, and we're going to look at this Passover. And I had no knowledge of it, because we often in the Christian community, Passover and Easter, we put those two together. But this year in the Hebrew calendar, the Gregorian calendar and the Hebrew calendar did not match. And did you know that this very week is Passover week in the Hebrew calendar? And that this past Friday night would have been what we would have called truly Good Friday, the night Jesus was crucified or went betrayed and passed, when he had shared the Passover meal with his disciples. Now, what does all that mean to you? Maybe nothing. But here's what it meant to me. In my time of preparation, in my sermon heart, I'm praying, God, lead me in this, because I want to share things that maybe have impact on the life of people. Weeks ago, as I'm kind of planning this out, I had no thought that Passover had not yet taken place. And only on Friday when I was studying this did I realize, and it just said to me, may not mean anything to you, but it said to me, this is what it said, I got you right where I want you. And you're bringing the people right on the place that I want them to be at. That right here they are, during the Passover celebration by the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, we're camped here at Gilgal. And we're going to break the communion emblems in remembrance of our Passover lamb that was slain for us. So I just believe it's God saying to us in the spirit, God saying something, I can make you whole at Gilgal. And you can partake of that Passover, or that covenant, communion covenant with us today, when you can let God do a work of grace in your heart and life. Keep the Passover. There's a lot that happened at Gilgal, camping at Gilgal. We're going to come to this place, and I'm going to close with this. Here in a moment's time, I'm going to send for the children. And we're going to do something. We're trying to connect spiritually from Joshua and the children of Israel and their journey in the wilderness, or excuse me, from out of the wilderness into the promised land for conquest. And they have gone through a painful moment at Gilgal. And they've gone through the cutting away of their flesh. And they had to go through the process of allowing God to heal their heart and their hurt. That's a critical part of the walk of faith. You can't live life bitter. And you can't live life broken. You can't be who God's called you to be. You stay at Gilgal until you're made whole. You stay there until you say, God, I've got to have your healing grace in my heart and life. I've got to be willing to cut away some things in my life, and then I've got to allow you to heal the hurt and the pain and the trauma of me, the things that I've gone through. And then in that context, the children of Israel are ready for Passover, because they now had the mark of covenant in their life. And I thought about this, and this is where I said my PG-13 might come in for just a moment of time, because I know this sounds strange to even talk about this, but to think of it this way, for the children, how did you know that whether that male was actually circumcised? Because without it, they could be cut off or killed. So did they actually demand that they look? When I was in the military, we would get drug tested once a year or so. And it's not like you going in and giving a urine sample today when you go to the doctor. And you go in that little room by yourself and you do your business and you bring out that little cup. And you're in the military and you go, you got a watcher. And I'm talking watching. Just like this. And I know that's where I said the PG-13. Because they're going to make sure that if you're going to serve in this nation's military, you don't have drugs in your system and you're trying not to manipulate, come on, that oath that you swore. And so I don't know if the children of Israel had a watcher. But here's what I want to say this. I think that maybe that's what Paul had in the back of his mind when he was writing about communion. Because here's what he said. He said, examine yourself whether you're in the faith. Take the time to make sure. Take the time that your flesh has been cut away. Take the time to make sure that you're pure in heart before God. That's a good word for you, church family. Maybe that's the reason why he said in 2 Corinthians, he said, examine yourself as to whether or not you're in the faith. So yeah, nobody's going to be watching for you here today. But what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to look within your own heart today. And look in your own heart, then you ask yourself, am I in the faith? Have I prayed? Have I submitted to God? Have I humbled myself before the Lord? Have I trusted Christ as my Savior? Have I been willing to cut away the sinful desires of my flesh? Am I willing to allow Him to heal me here at Gilgal so that I can be made whole? I know that's a lot, but that's what God requires of us today. That's a good word. Who's coming back on the platform? Did y'all practice a song about the blood? Did I hear that earlier? Was that part of the worship songs? Let's just go with just one person. If that's Brother Daryl, my main man, Brother Daryl. Thank you, Brother Daryl, for coming up for us today. You may be new to our church family, but let me just tell you real quickly about Pastor Brown. I laugh a little bit here in sermon. I try to be funny. That's what Alyssa says. You try to be funny. In my mind, because Sherry's a faithful laugher, I feel like I'm funny. Thank you. Thank you. But with spiritual things, I'm very serious. Very, very serious. Listen, this is eternal. These are things that matter. Did you know what Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians? He said, if you don't examine yourself, when you get ready to take of the emblem of communion, he said, because you don't handle the body of the Lord Jesus Christ right or correctly, he said, some are sick, some are weak, and some have even died. So I see something in harmony with the Passover and the circumcision and the mark of it. You could not partake of Passover unless you were in covenant faith with God. And the reality is you can't really partake of this. You might take of the cup and you might take of the bread, but I'm telling you, it has no merit in your life if your heart's not circumcised before the Lord. So our heads are bowed and our eyes closed for a moment of time. Y'all can go ahead and begin. Somebody be a runner for me, or Aaron, if you are, all right, they'll hold them back there for just a moment and don't let them come in until we pray. Until we pray. Because I'm going to tell you in just a moment, I'm going to wait and tell you why I'm bringing your children back in a moment, okay? I want to ask you to bow your heads with me for just a moment of time, and let's pray together. My prayer today is this. Will you examine yourself? Are you in covenant with God? Is your heart right with the Lord? Are there things in your life today that you say, Pastor, I haven't cut them away? Cut them away in faith right now. Cut them away in the Spirit. Ask the Lord by His Spirit to help you. God, give me the courage to take the knife of your word and to remove the parts of my life that's not pleasing to you. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you believed in Jesus as your Passover lamb that was slain or sacrificed for you? I'm going to give this twofold invitation right where you're at. If there's anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, I haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I've never fully surrendered to Him and submitted to Him. You know, I've used His name typically in vain. I believed in Him from afar, thought of it. I knew He was real, but I've never submitted and made Him the Lord of my life. But I'm here today because God's drawing me to a new place. If that's you, slip your hand up. I'll pray with you right where you're at. Is there anyone under the sound of my voice today that identifies with you today? Anyone? Number two today, who would be courageous enough to say, Pastor, pray with me. There's areas of my flesh that need to be cut away. Or there's a Gilgal. I need a Gilgal. Hands are going up around the room today. I need a Gilgal in my life. I need to roll away the reproach. I need God to do it. I can't. Maybe I can't do it, but God can. God can. God can roll away the reproach and give you a new day. Let's pray that. Let's pray that for one another. Because what you're doing right now in advance, you're examining yourself. You couldn't take a Passover unless you were in covenant. Don't bring some of that pain. Don't bring some of that stuff with you into communion today. How about you cut it off right now? How about you let God roll it away? God, I pray today. Church family, y'all pray with me. Let's pray this prayer. There are many hands, a number of hands that went up. Probably 30 hands went up and maybe beyond in this room today of people that slipped their hand up and said, there are things in my life. I know the Spirit of God is calling me. It's painful, but I need to do it. It's difficult, but I need God's grace. Only God can roll away the reproach, but I've got to do the cutting away. I've got to do my part. So God, I pray today for the men and women that had the courage to raise their hand. Father God, to be honest and transparent in this room, and said, I'm in faith before the Lord, but I need to cut away the flesh. Some of the things that have hindered me in the past and robbed me of being the person God's called me to be. So today, Lord, I bless the people. I pray for them. Give them strength. Give them grace. Give them courage. God, I pray today that they'll make decisions in their honoring of you of their faith, God, that's going to produce fruit in their life. As they walk, as you roll away the reproach, as they move into a new season, as they move into healing, stay at Gilgal, camp at Gilgal until you're made whole. If you got to come back to it, come back to it until you're made whole. You'll never be able to take Jericho. You'll never be able to take Ai as long as there's a wound in your life. You got to be made whole. Let God make you whole. God, I pray today that you'll make men and women whole. Make them whole in their... Paul said this, I pray that God would sanctify you, make you whole, spirit, soul, and body. That's my prayer for you today. Emotionally, mentally, relationally, spiritually, psychologically, I pray God make them whole today. In every part of their faith and who they are, God, do a work that's so supernatural that only you can get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and start bringing children back in. And...